Hey guys, it's Charles here with the Barbershop Group Podcast. Continuing on talking about the ego, I know that I went through part one and part two recently, and it's been a little bit of time. I wanted to give some people some time to digest some of it if they had heard it. If you haven't heard it, you can go ahead and catch up on part one and part two. But before I get into part three of tackling the ego, I wanted to kind of mention something that I didn't really jump into in part two, and that was just this idea of I am what I do. Because I think that, like, a lot of us at some point in our lives, we probably inadvertently fall into thinking that we are what we do, and we aren't. But I want to highlight some critical things that we don't think about today that still do have an impact on our lives, right? So we know a little bit about occupation. So, you know, you're not a banker. That's not what you're not a banker. Yeah, you do that as a job, but that's not who you are. You may be a basketball player, but that's not who you are. You may be a preacher. That's not who you are. You may be a teacher, but that's not who you are. A police officer. That's not who you are. You may be some entrepreneur. Whatever your entrepreneurial endeavor is, we can probably guarantee you that that's not who you are. And this is complicated, especially today. It's complicated by social media, because everywhere you look, everybody's advertising who they are, what they do anyway. And you hear a lot of motivational speakers and teachers out there telling you that you are the brand, that you are your brand. They'll tell you that all day, you are your brand. And so there starts to be this kind of, like, you know, this thin line between what you do and who you are. And a lot of people, I think, still struggle with, branding, right? Are you really, really putting your best foot forward, the best picture of you out there? Yeah, but is your best picture also a very true picture of you? And I think that when it comes to branding, a lot of times, no, we're not putting the truest picture out there of ourselves, because it's branding, right? And it's like any other company around the world. Who wants to show the true picture of their company when they're trying to convince people to go into business with them, to buy their products and so on, to promote their services? Nobody looks at the honesty in it. At any rate, when you look out there on the internet, you see a lot of people promoting ideas that can convince you that, oh, this is who they are. And it's not who we are. It's really not. Even my voice here on the podcast and things that I do for the Barbershop Group, but things that I do in my work, it's not who I am. I try to make it as much about who I am as possible, but the reality is, there's no way to convey all of me in a 20 or 30 minute segment. There's no way to convey all of me where you only hear a voice and you don't see facial expressions, right? You don't know what I was doing before the podcast, and you don't know what I'll do after the podcast. So that's not really who I am either, right? Just like it's not really who someone is when they put a picture on Instagram or on Facebook, or when they're commenting on somebody else's stuff. It's not who we are. And I think a lot of times we can fall for that. And that's not what we are. It's what we do. A lot of us, maybe we have to take a step back and really, it's not so much so that we can critique other people who we observe, but it's really that we can observe ourselves and just observe others. And, you know, when you observe something, you don't necessarily have to have a judgment about what you observe. You can just say, hey, I observed this, or my eyes saw that, my ears heard that. And you don't even have to have a reaction to it. In fact, having a reaction to it, partly, you know, on a natural level, it's something that we all do. But depending on what you see, what you felt, what you heard, how you choose to respond to it may actually be impacted heavily by your ego. Okay, so that's something to keep in mind. We always have feelings, thoughts, and emotions. It's how we respond to those thoughts, feelings, and emotions thereafter, recognizing that we have them, that determines if it's our ego that's in play or if it's our highest self. So today, you know, part three, who I am is what others think of me. And we know that that's false. But a lot of us didn't grow up that way. You know, for me, I can tell you, I didn't grow up that way. I grew up thinking that I absolutely had to be the smartest whip around. I grew up thinking that I had to speak a certain way around certain individuals. So if I were with one group of people, I would try to cover an accent in one way. If I was with another group of people, I would try to accentuate an accent. If I were with another group of people, it was all this codifying going on, this code language, right? But I can tell you too, one of the things that impacted me growing up was being around people who were extremely opinionated and abusive. They were very opinionated and abusive towards me as well as others. And that made me think that, oh, wow, I've always got to be conscious of what I do, what I say, and around who, right? And so you almost start acting. Yeah, you do. It's not almost. You do act. You're always on pins and needles about, well, what if I say this or what if I do that? And again, for me personally, some of that was born out of ideological abuse, you know, bad boundaries, people having bad emotional boundaries, people having bad ideological boundaries. And it just got to the point where it was like, wait a minute, I am really, really confused about how I'm supposed to be. So, yeah, some of that is learned and it's taught by bad people. But at a certain point in our lives, we tend to hold on to it. We tend to gravitate to it and it becomes us. It's no longer about those abusive people in our lives who are teaching us those things. Now we are continuing to teach ourselves those things. And that's when it gets really, really bad. You know, throughout life, we're bombarded by ego messages attempting to convince us that our worth comes from the observations and opinions of other people. Our authentic self, you know, is the same as that which it came from. And a lot of people have trouble understanding that. But if you believe in God or if you believe in spirit or the universe or what have you, your essential self, your spiritual self is the same as what it came from. It's no different. All right. Our connection to God or to our divine self, it'll remain healthy and strong as long as we recognize and repudiate, you know, or rebuff the false idea that validation of our self-esteem is external, that it comes from somewhere else outside of us, and that it's not just a part of our being, okay? And we're taught this stuff from an early, early age. As I said, you know, in my case, there were extended family members who would say things like, oh, well, you act white or you speak white or your accent is like this or like that. Or they would say, oh, you know, if I remember sitting down watching the news as a child with these particular family members, and I would make a comment about something I saw on the news, and they would say, oh, you must be a Republican. Are you going to be a Republican? Because what I saw, I expressed an idea about, and then they label me. And I was like, well, wait a minute, what does that mean? Is that something bad or is that something good? But then I listened to the tone of voice, and now I observe the body language, and I determine, oh, that's a bad thing. It's a bad thing to be a Republican. Oh, don't be that. Okay, be something else. A lot of us get those messages. As a guy, you get messages about how to be a man from other people around you, right? So you do what someone else does. And I remember a few months ago, one of our board members, Shakir Abdullah, you know, you can check him out on the website. He wrote a little blog in response to his initial reaction in response to the Gillette ad commercial. And he said, man, you know, there were times when I would try to really act a certain way to fit in with the other guys who were doing the wrong thing. I would try to fit in with those guys who were doing the wrong thing just so that I would appear to be just like them. And that's a very common thing that a lot of people experience because we're worried about the way other people view us. You know, some of these messages come from parents, from our brothers and sisters, you know, from siblings, from friends, from teachers, everybody. And it's an immersion in false teaching about ego. It really is. It's one of the worst things that we can teach young people. It's one of the worst things that we can teach people in our lives, period. Okay, is that their worth is dependent upon our observation and opinions of them. But even as a parent, guys, I got to tell you something. It's difficult to keep from doing, because when you see your child do something good, right, and you praise that child, right, you have to be conscious of how you praise that child before that child begins to think that they're always due that type of praise. And if they don't get that type of praise, oh my goodness, what's going to be the backlash? What's the response? Does mom or dad love me anymore because they didn't praise me the way that they did before? Right? That's real. How many of you have children who walk into the room and say, hey, look, mommy, look, daddy, look at this. And you don't have the reaction that that child thought that you should have had. Right? I mean, it's kind of tricky, isn't it? Because on one hand, you do want to provide that positive reinforcement. On the other hand, right, you don't want your child to think that, okay, they're the best thing since sliced bread when they're really about average, just like everybody else. That's what we are. And, you know, human beings, ultimately, we're all about the same. We have trouble admitting that because of our egos, right? So self-esteem stems from internally held positive beliefs about ourselves, not from the approval of other people. I'm sure you guys have got that by now. But ego's worldly survival guide dictates that we're physical beings without core spirituality. And that's something that we see a lot of times today. You know, even if you go online, you'll see men and women putting up pictures of themselves in scantily clad stuff, right? You know, showing muscles or body parts or what have you, and they'll have a quote up about God, right? Okay, not saying that you don't believe in God at all. Absolutely. However, is God just this physical thing? Or is God beyond that physical thing, right? And we got to be sure, we got to be careful about how we send those messages. Because if God is just this physical thing, now the ego is about the physical thing as well. So how do you determine which is which? Okay. Unfortunately, yeah, our ego is a beast. Ego tries to ward off awareness of our spiritual selves. The ego in us doesn't really want us to see anything other than what's right in front of us. Things that we can see, smell, touch. That's what the ego wants us to focus on. And that's why a lot of times, you know, you'll see marketers. That's what they appeal to, right? When you turn on your TV, that's all that marketers can appeal to. They don't know how to appeal to the essence of you, right? They want you to be consumed by something that you can touch, something that you can see, something that you can hear, something that you can smell, all right? And one of the interesting thing about marketing when it comes to TV and radio, believe it or not, is the marketers have egos that are trying to appeal to your ego, right? When you think about TV commercials, they want you to have the best and they want you to think that they're the best, right? And they're telling you, hey, look, I know you're watching this commercial right now. And if you don't have this, you're not any good. You don't have the best product and we've got the best product and we know you don't have it. So what does that say about your life that you don't have our product? You see how this stuff gets turned around, man? Everybody does it. Everybody does it. And even those of us who are entrepreneurs, we do that to each other. Isn't that something? And I know that this is going to step on some toes, but this is how ego impacts our liberal capitalistic society here in America. It makes you think that your product is the best and that somebody else is deficient if they don't have your product. I mean, think about it. If you've got a product that you're selling, a service that you're selling, you wouldn't dare tell somebody, hey, listen, yes, this is my product. Yes, this is the service that I'm offering. But hey, you know what? By all means, I refer you to someone else. You can go get this from someone else. That's not how you do business. That's not how any of us do business. And it's primarily because of our ego. Our ego has us so afraid. Our ego has us so afraid that if someone doesn't purchase our product or service from us, that physically we're going to die, that physically we're deficient, that our worth is less, and we're wrong. So, you know, believing that who we are is defined by what other people think of us cripples the joyful spontaneity of our authentic selves. You think about that for a minute. It really dulls our ability to just be right? If you're always thinking about how someone else is going to see you, how someone else is going to perceive you, what they're going to say about you, then you're not really vibing, man. You're not really being who you are. And so that's the reason why people like, you know, Dr. Wayne Dyer and Tony Robbins and, you know, so many, there's just so many, Leo Buscaglia, all of these teachers, present and past, would talk to us about the ego and they say, hey, listen, that's not you. Okay, you can't be who you are. I remember Leo Buscaglia used to say all the time, you know, the easiest thing to be is yourself, right? Stop trying to be somebody else, right? You're never going to be successful at it. And nobody's ever going to give you that award for trying to be somebody else. Doesn't really happen that way. Just ask a lot of Hollywood actors who don't get awards for their parts in movies when they felt like they did a good job. It's not how that works. Okay, so it really cripples us, and it shouldn't. If others disapprove and their opinion defines us, then we start to modify ourselves or shrink from view. And that happens a lot. You know, I know guys now, friends, family members and beyond who are still wrestling with being who they are because they're worried about what somebody else is going to think. And some of these guys are 40, 50, 60 years old. You know, they just... They've lived their entire lives worried about what others are going to say about them. You know, so, I mean, our image of ourselves, it's located in them. When we start talking about or thinking that it matters, somebody else's opinions matter, their observations matter. Now, we're giving over control to them. You see? And that's not good for us to do. That's not good for us to do at all. You know, in a way, we almost become second-class citizens. Think about that for a minute. We make our own selves second-class citizens when we are subjected to other people's opinions and observations. All right? So I wanted to mention these things to you guys because it's extremely important that we understand that we're not what we do, but we're not what others think of us either, okay? And we can never truly be what other people think of us because what people think of us always changes. You know, 2 years ago, what somebody thought of me was great. Today, what that person may think of me is not so great, right? Opinions change. Why would you open your being up to something that changes? You know, somebody could have liked you yesterday, thought the world of you yesterday, and today they're like, you know what? No, they're not even on my list. There are people who were thinking of you yesterday. They had no thought of you today. And you the same, if you're conscious and honest about it. You know, it's something that we all have to work on, but it's true. And so when we understand that we may not feel the way we did tomorrow about the people the way we feel about them today. Now, that will kind of get us to check our own selves and say, hey, wait a minute. Am I really in this for the spirit? Or am I in this for ego? Okay. So those are some things to think about. I wanted to kind of jump in, be quick and be out. I'll have more to say about this later, but I just try to give you a little bit at a time. One of the other things I want to mention to you is this when it comes to people observing us. Okay. If you commit an action, if you are afraid to do something because of other people, then your ego is still active, okay? And if you do something because of other people, your ego is still active. And we're going to talk a little bit about that later. That's something that a lot of spiritual people of old used to talk about that we don't hear a whole lot about today. But just be mindful, guys, that what we're putting out there about ourselves, that's not really who we are. What other people think of us, those things aren't who we really are either. So until next time, I'll leave you with that. If you have any comments, concerns, questions, you can email me at charles@thebarbershopgroup.org or send us a message on the Facebook page. Always like to hear your comments. If you love the podcast, hate the podcast, leave a review. Let us know what you think. And in the meantime, we'll get ready for the next thing and we'll talk to you soon.